need your prayers. My thought is having the same love. You'll find that. We'll go take it for a text in a minute. That Philippians chapter 2 is just, I don't know. It just seems like here lately the Lord, everything I go to study, that's where I end up. And it just seems like He's kind of leading and directing me there. And I've just found so many little nuggets in that chapter. Well, I want to take my reading lessons out of Genesis 33, and it's very familiar. It's to do with Jacob and his troubles and trials. We find where Jacob, I've preached on a lot of this stuff all through the years, and I'm pretty sure I've read these scriptures I'm going to read today here before. But we know Jacob ended up getting Esau's birthright. He ended up, him and his mama kind of come up with a plan to get the blessing from Isaac, and got Esau's blessing, and he got blessed rather than Esau. We find where his mother sent him away to her brother's house, Laman's. And on the way, you'll find there where he prayed and made a memorial unto the Lord, and for Jacob's ladder. He got there to that land, and they was at the well. And that's where he met Rebekah. And I believe he saw her coming. I believe he fell right in love with her. We find where he served Laman for 7 years for Rebekah. Then Laman kind of pulled the wool over his eyes. You reap what you sow. And he brought him Leah. So Leah was Rebekah's sister, and he went into her and Rachel. I'm saying Rebekah. My wife corrected me back there. Thank you. I appreciate it. I do. I'm not fussing at you. Rebekah was Isaac's wife, Rachel. Well, we find that Leah, he went into Leah, and then he was married to Leah. That's the way it was. She was his wife. That was the marriage. And so he ended up, him and Laman worked out another deal. He served 7 years, more years, for Rachel. So he married Rachel. And then he ended up making another deal with Laman when he was going to leave to take part of the herd. And he was going to take the brown and the spotted ones, and Laman would get the rest. And he ended up with the biggest part of them, and Laman sort of turned against him. And it come a time that the Lord told Jacob he needed to get out of there, and because Laman had turned against him. He no longer was so thankful for him anymore. So Jacob is heading back home. Esau found out he's coming home, and he's not a happy man. He left because Esau. Esau, the Bible says, he hated him. And he said he'd hated his brother because of what he had done. And his mother was afraid he's going to kill him, and he probably was at the time. So he's headed towards him with 400 men. And Jacob is scared to death, and rightfully so. So he starts spreading out his people and his herds, and he puts them in different groups. And what his hope was that if Esau come in and attack this bunch, maybe these over here would get away and escape before he got to them. So before he crossed the brook, we find where he wrestled with the man there, and he wouldn't turn loose until he got blessed, and he got blessed. So now we're finally to the point that he's fixing to meet Esau, his brother, who he got his birthright. Esau traded his birthright for some pottage. And so we got to this point. He's got his birthright. He stole his blessing from his father. Here he is. He's fixing to meet. And I'm telling you, scared to death. And I want you to keep in mind what our subject is. And we're not going to talk about this a whole lot more. We're going to go and try to, Lord, I feel like, and we're going to try to come back to this, I pray, here in a little while. But having the same love. In this 33rd chapter, it says, and Jacob lifted up his eyes, and he looked, behold, Esau came with 400 men, and he divided his children unto Leah and unto Rachel and unto the two handmaids. And he put the handmaids and their children at foremost, Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph in the hinder parts. And he passed over before them and bowed himself into the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. And he lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children and said, who are thee, those with thee? And he said, these are the children which God have graciously given thy servant. And the handmaids came near, and they and their children, they bowed themselves. Then Leah and also with her children came near and bowed themselves. And after came Joseph near and Rachel, and they bowed themselves. And he said, what meanest thou all this drove which I met? And he said, these are to find grace in the sight of my Lord. Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself. And Jacob said, nay, I pray thee, if thou I have found grace in thy sight, that then receive my present at my hand, for therefore I have seen thy face as though I had seen the face of God, and thou wast pleased with me. And with mistakes we made reading, that's reading down to the 10th verse. And like I said, we're going to try to come back to that here in a little while. The Lord be our helper. But we want to go over here and take in the second chapter and the second verse for our text, and it says, fulfill ye my love. And Paul doing the speaking here, that ye might be like-minded, having the same love, being one accord of one mind. And you'll find different places he says be of one accord and one mind. But this is the only place I find he says be of the same, having the same love. And that's what I want us to try to look at today, is having the same love. There should be a love about God's children, about God's church, and it should be the same. There should be a love. I should love the Lord God with all my heart. I should love my neighbor as myself. And I want you to know that. And so each one of us should have the same love towards the Lord. But I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus said in his own words, we're not all going to have it. That sinner woman that bowed at his feet, he said he that he forgive most will love the most. So everybody, maybe some of us has been so sorry through our life, we can look back and we think, how in the world did he save me? How was he willing to get? And maybe some of us might love him a little more than others. I don't know. It seems to be that way. Don't you believe that? I see some people seem to love him more than maybe I do. And I'm ashamed to say that, but I should have the same love. But I really don't think that's what he's talking about here. I thought about the church, how we ought to all have the same love for the church. And the church is made up of individuals. It's not this building. We've talked about that a lot of times. Everybody thinks it's the brick and the mortar, what we've added on to. Yes, it's been added on to, but God added on to it. He added on to this church by through the people. So I think every one of us should have the same love towards the church. I believe that. But I'm still not sure, and everybody don't. Is that not correct? I mean, everybody, there's some people, I can write it down in my little day book, as Sheila's daddy used to say. He'd say, you can write that down in your day book. I can write down my day book, unless something bad happens, who's going to be here every Sunday? I can. I can tell you there's a certain group of people who's going to be here every Sunday. I'm not going to call their name. I ain't going to do it. But unless something bad's wrong, and I know bad things happen to people, there's stuff happening, we can't come to church. I realize that. There's been times I can't come to church. I try my best to come if I can. I feel like I have a job to do, but I also feel like you'd have one too. I think we should have the same love for the Lord's church. I think you ought to have the same love for it as I have for it. And you say, well, you ain't got the kind of love I think you ought to have. And I agree, amen. But listen to me, we should have a love for her. But I'm still not sure. I believe the same love is for you and you. I should have the same love for Brooke as I do Sean. I should not, Brother Marty talked about this morning. I had to listen to him this morning. He come on, got it, come up, download on my phone, and you know how I have to listen to it? I'm sitting in there like it's right here, with it still, barely could hear it. I mean, barely hear it. But I wanted to hear what he had to say. I felt like I needed to. He was right down the line, a whole lot of what you talked about, right down the line. Listen to me. I think we should treat everybody the same. I don't care if you're a deacon, if you're sitting in the amen corner, or if you're sitting in the back seat and only a member here 2 weeks, I should love you. And I should treat you no different than I would her. And that's the truth of the matter. We should love and have a love of the same for each other. That shouldn't change. That should never change. We should care about each other. We should respect each other. We should know we need each other. Growing up, I loved my daddy. There ain't never been nobody loved their daddy more than I did mine. I wanted to be his favorite. There was 5 of us kids. I hung with my daddy every step he took. I was right behind him. There ain't never been a kid loved their daddy more than me. But I was not his favorite. I wasn't. My sister, middle sister, was Anita, and I seen after I got older, she needed him more than I did. But I wanted to be his favorite. Oh, I love that man. I still do. Respect him so much. But I wasn't his favorite. I can say this honestly here. There's some of you that want to be closer to me and been a friend to me, and I love you. But I have tried my best to never treat nobody different here. If anybody here's got an opinion, I'll listen to what they have to say. If anybody here's hurting, I'll try to pray for them. I love you. I love y'all the same, and I'm trying to tell you that. You should love each other the same, no matter what your position in the church is. I don't care how big or how little you are. I'm the one that stands up here and everybody looks at me. You shouldn't love me a bit more than you love Brother Johnny. I'm just being honest with you. Brother Larry back there, he's got to be a friend of mine. A friend of mine. I love that man. But listen to me, I love Terry the same way. I love Joey. I love seeing him raise up from right there, scrawling a ball and calling on the name of the Lord and raising up God saved his soul. I mean, I liked the man, loved him before that, but after he got saved, he's United with his church. I've grown to love you more, brother. I ain't lying to you. There should be a love there that's the same. I want to go here and read to you. And everything just about is going to be from here. Y'all pray for us. But God has set the members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, were the body. But now, so in other words, one person don't make up the body. I want you to get that. Now get that right there. One person
should never rule God's church. I don't care who it is, the pastor, the deacons, I don't care who it is. No one person rules the body. Only person rules the body is the head, and that's Jesus Christ. Now there are many members, but one body. And I cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. But he said, nay, much more the members that the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, I want you to remember that one, honorable, upon these we bestow abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant and honor to that which is lacked. And that there should be no schism in the body, or no division, no gap in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. Having the same love. My wife says when I die, she's going to bury me in blue. And bury me in what she wants to. She said, blue just looks good on you. Well, I got blue eyes. Let's say you put me in that casket, like it's right here looking at everybody. Blue probably ain't going to do me much good. See, some people, Brooke has got brown eyes. Ain't them pretty eyes? You got brown eyes too. I like brown eyes. I do. Y'all stick with me here. Y'all hang with me just a minute. See, there's some parts of the body just gets more attention than the other. There's some people I ain't going to say the word, but they like feet. That's the ugliest part of the body. In my opinion, I mean, it's just ugly. I mean, I take my shoes off, put my up in a recliner, and I'll let my feet back down or put my socks on. They look alienated to me. I just don't. But anyway, some people like them. Some people are into teeth. They see somebody with pretty teeth, and they say, oh, I just love your teeth. I just love them. You know, I love teeth. I love your eyes. I love this, I love that. But for the body to work, every part is important. See, we're to love the same. We're to love a deacon. I believe we should. We should respect the office of a deacon. But the man, we shouldn't love him no more than we would Dusty. Because they're both men, and they're both members of the Lord's church, and they're both child of God, and we should love them the same. We respect the office, but we love them the same. We don't ever try to put somebody down. Have you ever been belittled? Have you ever? I have. Have you ever felt like people loved you? One day they just loved you to death, and the next day they're done with you and they could care less about you. Have you ever felt like if they just done away with you, that you wouldn't really be missed that much? Have you ever felt that way? I have you ever just sat in a back corner and crowds and stuff, and you just feel like you didn't fit in and nobody really liked you? I have. I went to school for years and I just didn't, you know, ask Marty, I didn't fit in. I wasn't smart. I wasn't athletic. I didn't have really nothing going for me. I wasn't nothing that nobody wanted to be around. I was about half mean. Really didn't fit in. I see people like that in church, and it bothers me. And those are the ones I try to pay a little more attention to. What I'm trying to do today is try to encourage you to help those more feeble parts. Those parts that everybody kind of overlooks, that everybody may not even care much for. Say everybody can't have a good nose. Everybody don't have pretty eyes. Everybody don't have the best teeth. Everybody don't have abs. Everybody don't have big biceps. Good hair. Some of us are by bald. Some of us can't grow a good beard. There's all kinds of things. But listen to me. In God's eyes, they're pretty. And because of that, we should love them and they have a purpose. Everyone God has put in this body, if He truly put you here, you have a purpose. And don't let nobody tell you you don't. There's a reason He's put you in this body. He's put you here where we can work and together. When your body works together, it will work. But when my knee's giving me trouble, I limp. I ain't going to talk about running 5 miles a day, I promise. I ain't been able to do it lately. I'd like to talk about it. But when my foot, I've had a foot give me trouble. And just here lately, I find myself walking around. That ugly foot that I think just so ugly, don't even want to look at. Guess what? I found out that thing's pretty important. When that knot grows up on it right there and it starts getting sore and I can't hardly walk, I'm starting thinking, well, that ugly foot would be awful good. It'd be all right now. See that person that's sitting back there that nobody really don't pay a whole lot of attention to? I want you to know they're just as important as your pastor is. I think a whole lot of what we've read this morning and talked about is going to go right back to what we just read to you in our read lesson. We should show honor to those that most people just think will be a little less honorable. Our Lord did come, Marty, as a servant. Everybody's not going to be a deacon. Everybody's not going to be a preacher. Everybody's not going to be a piano player, and we've got some good ones. Everybody's not going to be a song leader. Everybody's not going to feel like getting up and testifying every Sunday. Everybody ain't going to have leads from the God to do this and do that. Everybody's not meant to go to Africa. It seems like here lately every preacher comes here telling me I need to go somewhere. I got to the point this week, I said, God, if you want me to go, I even asked her. I said, where would you want to go? You want to go to Ghana? You want to go to Africa? I ain't got no lead. I can't go. You got to have a lead from God. I don't care how many preachers come say you need to do this and you need to do that. Don't do that till you have a lead. Don't join the church till you have a lead. You'll never fit in the body. But if you have a lead, join. You know why? Because we need you. If you're supposed to be joining this church and you ain't done it, then our body ain't working like it's supposed to be. But if you're in the body and you ain't supposed to be in it, then it can cause a problem too. I won't go back over here. Did y'all pay attention to what happened? See, Jacob, he loved Rachel. You'll find in the 29th chapter, I believe it's the 30th verse, it said he loved Rachel more than he did Leah. He loved Leah, he did, but he didn't love her like he did Rachel. And I want you to know, because of that, Leah done everything she could to get him to love her. She gave him handmaids. She gave him, I believe, 6 sons. And she done all she could. Her handmaid gave him 2 sons. And she done all she could to make him love her like he did Rachel, but she could not do it. And then listen, Rachel gave him a handmaid, and he ended up having a couple sons by them also. And I want you to know, when it come down to it, here's my point. When he come down and he saw Esau out there a far distance, and he knew what was coming. He done divided his flocks. He divided his men. He had divided his family. He sent them handmaids and his children, his babies, first. They was despicable. They could, if they got killed, then so be it. That was his thoughts. Maybe the ones behind would escape. You know who come next? Leah and her children. I want you to know they was behind, falling behind the handmaids. And them children was there watching, knowing what their daddy was doing to them. And then it said, then he said, Rachel and Joseph, because Benjamin hadn't been born yet. Rachel died at childbirth with Benjamin. But here they come. Why? Because he loved Rachel and Joseph more than he did his other children and his other wives. That's the fact. We're to love, have love, and it should be the same. Can you imagine? You'll go and find, you'll find where Joseph, he went and told on a couple of the sons, Leah's sons, the handmaid's sons is who it was. He come and told Jacob on them what the mischief they was in. Then he went to telling them dreams that he was having, how they was going to bow to him, and they did. They sure enough did. But listen to me, them same boys, them same children watched their daddy send them back to the back line where they would, nothing would happen to them. That was his hope. Yeah, Jacob went first and he bowed down. Kill me if you have to. But then come the handmaids and their children. And they was looking back saying, well, what about Rachel back there, Joseph? That, you know, they was thinking it. And then here come Leah. Oh, she loved him so much. And her children, his sons, they loved him too. And here they come right behind the handmaids. I want you to know, why was that? The one who was more honorable was Rachel and Joseph. That's the truth. That's where his heart was. So they watched it. They sat there and they saw it. Daddy loves them. When he does us, if we die, so be it. But he wants Rachel and Joseph to make it. And when he went and told on them, Joseph was 17, so these was all young people. They were grown men. They're walking through there. They're going towards Esau. And every once in a while, they're looking back. They're seeing back behind them. Why don't you love me, Daddy? Why are you doing this to me, Daddy? Why am I gonna die for, Daddy? And Rachel, Joseph's back under. She said, no doubt telling him, soon as you see the Esau attack, we're gonna run. We're gonna get back across the brook and we're gonna go back to my father's house, Laman. We can all be replaced. That ain't my point. My point is you shouldn't be in a church feeling like somebody's looking to replace you all the time. That you're just a little bit less than that one that's back there in the back. In that case, that's what it was. They was behind. You shouldn't feel that way. And if you feel that way, shame on us. If you feel like I've not loved you like I should have, then shame on me. I'm going to tell you, those that sitting back there in the very back are just as important to me as the ones sitting up here in the front. Now I'm going to ask you, do you feel the same way? You love each other the same. If it come down to it, next Sunday is conference, and you thought maybe if you got rid of your pastor, things would look a little better for you, would I be the one that you'd be ready to sacrifice that you might look a little better? I'm not thinking that's going to happen. Good. What I'm saying is, we need the foot, that ugly foot, as much as we do the pretty blue eyes. There ain't nobody here that ain't important. You know who those sons was? The 12 tribes of Israel. Every one of them. He sat down on his bed. I've talked about it at different times. He sat down on his bed and he charged them. He told them all what their purpose was. Them that was put up right in the front, they had a purpose. Amen. God had a plan for them. And he charged them and he told them what their purpose was. Just like Jeremiah had a purpose. Just like Paul did. Just like Peter did. Just like you do. Having the same love. So don't ever, ever think nobody in this party is not important. Because you are. And don't ever let nobody tell you that you're not. Whether it be me or anybody else. Because you are important. They all had a job to do, and so do you. So you may sit in a corner. Nobody, I heard some of them say the other day, that preacher didn't even shake my hand. We went up there to hear Brother Marty's boy sing up there. And I went around, they all said I was running for something. I told them I was running for dog catcher. I'm used to shaking people's hands. I get around the crowd, I go, oh, shake their hands. You know, and they was all aggravating me about that. I think one of the members, I walked by him, didn't know it. He said, that preacher didn't even shake my hand. If I don't shake your hand, it ain't because I don't love you. It ain't because you're not important. And I'm going to tell you why. I was a little boy growing up over in Rocky Mount. I done told you that didn't fit in with nobody. It seemed like nobody cared about him. He wanted his daddy to love him more than the rest of the children. That's wrong. I know it is, but I did want him to. There were some people around there who just got to notice this little boy that nobody cared anything about. They wasn't doing good in school. They didn't have no friends. There were some people started caring about him. And they made sure he got to church. And he got saved. And how do you know that church, every time they'd see that little boy, even as a grown man, they'd come over, they'd encourage him, they'd love on him, they'd tell him how good he was. And they'd try to push him forward, to go forward. Well, that little boy on this call to preach, they got behind him and pushed him. Somebody, nobody, and everything. And everybody said, well, oh, what call to preach? Not Jeff Lycan, surely not Jeff Lycan. And I thought the same thing. Surely not me. But they treated me the same as they did Marty Matter. They did. See, that's how this works. That's how a body works. Sometimes division causes division. When you take that little person back there that never says anything out of the gap, then you got the division. Y'all may have not got nothing out of this. Maybe you've never been looked down upon. Maybe you never cried yourself to sleep wanting somebody to love you like to do somebody else. I hope you never have. There's marriages right now where the husband loves the wife, I mean, just crazy over, and she just tolerates him. There's marriages right now where the wife is just adores him. He's just everything, but he just lives with her. There's communities right now where we've done been told to love our neighbors, we love ourselves. That one guy right down the road here, everybody goes around and pats him on the back and hugs him, loves on him. And this guy sitting over here, nobody ever even goes by and checks on him. There's kids in school today that just feel like they don't fit in, that nobody wants to have nothing to do with them. You tell me I'm a liar, and I'll shut up. That should never, and I mean never, happen in the household of God. And if I see it happen, I'll call it out. I'll call it out every time. Because there's nobody here no less than anybody else. That's my thought. So if you want to send me the first in line, the first in battle, just like David did, your eyes, make sure I get killed, throw me out there. But I want to tell you something, I'll love you the whole time they're killing me. That's a message.